to capture Mr. Darcy, a Pride and Prejudice variation novel. Chapter 1. 1 November 15th, 1811. In the original Pride and Prejudice, Mrs. Bennet visits Netherfield Park with her daughters, and Elizabeth remains to care for Jane. Elizabeth Bennet slipped into the library at Netherfield Park for her sixth time in 3 days. With her sister Jane on the mend, she could not cease her curiosity for the chessboard. As soon as Jane fell asleep, she left her sickbed to check the progression of the game with her unknown opponent. Beneath the expansive double set of windows, looking out on the south side of the property, sat the rosewood-carved chess set. Elizabeth spied the board on her first afternoon in the grandest estate in all of Hertfordshire.
She had not meant to start a game with anyone, but resisting the urge to move a single white pawn proved to be too great a temptation.
Returning a few hours later to replace the novel she had finished by Jane's side, as her sister lay suffering with fever, Elizabeth stood stunned to find someone had responded in kind. Black's corresponding pawn rested 2 squares away from the starting line to face hers. Soon Elizabeth found herself eager to return to the library every few hours to continue the clandestine game. The board stood deep in the throes of a true battle, with Black's might decimating her numbers. The most clever Bennet daughter carefully read the positions of her pieces and considered her options. Her mysterious opponent was of the aggressive sort, but not blinded by the taking of just any piece. She had offered up both a pawn and a knight, and the opponent did not fall distracted by the easy kill. Therefore, the only way to beat him or her was to lay a trap of the wickedest kind. Elizabeth would sacrifice her queen in 4 moves. Smiling to herself, she chose her move, and a calling voice from outside the library made her hastily select another novel. Perhaps a servant was looking for her, and Jane had not slept long. Either way, her bishop sat ready to take the opponent's offending knight, and she would have to wait to see the next move of her anonymous enemy. Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy of Derbyshire frowned when he noticed Elizabeth Bennet leaning over his chess game with Bingley. She had not noticed him sitting solitarily in the far corner with his book and brandy. Being a master at averting the attentions of Miss Bingley granted him an ability to turn into proverbial wallpaper when he willed it so. A swirl of the amber liquid kept him occupied as he sat astounded the woman would dare to move the pieces of a game she was not a party to. He had meant to say something, but too quickly she moved a piece and then scurried out of the library, leaving him once more to his own company.
He finished his drink and supposed he could set the board back to the last position. One gift he held included memorizing even the slightest glimpse of a picture.
Darcy felt confident he could reset the piece she dared touch, but when he reached the board he paused. She had not moved a piece randomly. She had made a very cunning move, forcing him to choose between sacrificing his knight or his rook.
A knot of understanding twisted tighter in his gut.
That he was already in very grave danger of more than a passing fancy with this dark-haired, bright-eyed creature was a foregone conclusion, but now he was in the thralls of a very thrilling chess match with a worthy opponent. And the worthy opponent was none other than that dark-haired, bright-eyed creature, Elizabeth Bennet. "Mr. Darcy, there you are." Caroline Bingley entered the library and swiftly attached herself to his arm. "Oh, bother, are you and Charles again playing that silly chess game? Upon my honor, I do not see the point in moving little wooden pieces to simulate a battle. Besides, you always win, according to him."
Darcy cleared his throat and carefully studied the board. It was a fool's trap. He did not mistake the gambit. If he sacrificed his rook this early in the game, he would be limited in defensive maneuvers later to protect his king. But his knight was paramount to his plan of attack to put her in checkmate. Her. The concept felt foreign, though surprisingly pleasing to him. Could his future include many delightful afternoons at Pemberley in a challenge of wits?
"On the contrary, Miss Bingley, this match I may very well lose."
"Shall we reset it, and you can teach me the particulars?" Caroline Bingley batted her eyes most fetchingly and began to reach for the pieces to take them off the board, but Darcy quickly grabbed her hand. "No." Hastily he released her, as he realized she took more meaning in his visceral reaction than he meant, and the look of pleasure on her face made his stomach wish to remove itself of its contents. He swallowed before making an insincere offer. "It is such a lovely day, perhaps we should take a stroll?" Caroline made the unmistakable sound of a squeal and promised to ready herself presently. Darcy nodded and agreed to await her just outside, finding himself in desperate need of fresh air. Once Caroline left, he moved his knight to a more advantageous spot and exited the library and the house itself. The rook would be ashamed to lose, but one cannot win a war without casualties. No sooner had the main door closed behind him and Mr. Darcy weighed the merits of continuing the game with Miss Elizabeth than the bewitching creature herself appeared, apparently planning her own solitary constitutional. "Mr. Darcy," she greeted him and curtsied ever so slightly before beginning to walk away. "Miss Elizabeth, you plan to walk?" He cursed himself for such a stupid question as the lady turned with her lips pursed in perfect amusement. "It would appear so, Mr. Darcy. And yourself?"
"Miss Bingley is to join me," he said flatly. "I wish you both a happy afternoon." She nodded again and continued her pace, smiling to herself.
Yes, let the two most disagreeable people in the household enjoy one another's company. Such a match suited her just fine. "Perhaps you will join us?" Darcy again called out, making Elizabeth halt in her tracks.
"Yoo-hoo, Mr. Darcy!" Caroline appeared, donning her gloves, a full bonnet, and parasol. She waved to Mr. Darcy as if she were unable to traverse the stone steps leading out of the home without his assistance. Darcy clenched his jaw and dashed up the steps with Miss Elizabeth watching.
"Miss Bingley, I am sure you will equal me in my happiness that Miss Elizabeth has consented to join us on our ramble through the gardens."
"I said no. But Miss Eliza has already taken a walk this morning. I should dearly hope another walk without the proper cover will not turn her coarse and so very brown."
Miss Bingley frowned in what she hoped appeared to be friendly worry, but instead she only managed to change Elizabeth Bennet's mind about joining their party of two.
"Fear not on my behalf, Miss Bingley. There are none to complain if I should not follow London's latest fashions to perfection. I am quite content in my own skin."
Elizabeth flashed the woman a smile as Mr. Darcy escorted Miss Bingley to the edge of the drive, where Elizabeth had been poised to escape in the direction of wilder grounds instead of the manicured gardens. Elizabeth ignored the titterings of Caroline Bingley, trying desperately to engage Mr. Darcy in a discussion of the grounds of his estate at Pemberley. But for Mr. Darcy to speak, Caroline would have to pause in her effusions of the exalted gardens for at least a moment, or else he would need to resort to an interruption. Wishing to engage Miss Elizabeth in a conversation, he chanced the interruption.
"And the gardens to the east of Pemberley are, on third thought, my true favorite. Miss Elizabeth, do you prefer to walk in tended gardens, or are you more inclined to enjoy nature's raw offerings?"
Elizabeth thought carefully before answering as Miss Bingley huffed that a question was not offered to her.
"I believe if I told you I preferred tended gardens, you would guess correctly I offer a bald-faced lie. But I do confess I am a great admirer of the stunning blooms nature has to offer, in either circumstance."
"And what flower is your favorite, Miss Eliza?"
Caroline practically spat the question.
"A rose. I am sorry to disappoint you with such a common choice."
"Miss Elizabeth, I do not believe commonality to be a denigrating mark, but rather a unifying one. Do you not agree?"
Mr. Darcy challenged the dismissal of her own tastes. Elizabeth cocked her head to one side and found it curious that once again, Mr. Darcy addressed her directly. They came to a small manufactured water feature, with a footbridge not large enough to admit three, and Elizabeth forged ahead so the other two might follow her. Once on the other side of the water feature, narrower than the many brooks Elizabeth jumped in her daily walks about the countryside, she waited politely for them to cross.
"Are you to mean that roses are your favorite flower as well, Mr. Darcy?" Elizabeth could not help her curiosity of the great man who said so very little, but when he did, his opinions had a tendency to offend. That he could hold an opinion not at odds with her own was a novelty indeed.
"As a matter of fact, they are." Mr. Darcy paused as he held the hand of Miss Bingley, who pretended to have difficulty in making the small step from the bridge to the path. "There is no more striking beauty in my mind than a wild rose in the brambles of a secluded forest."
Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy locked eyes for a moment, and the intensity of his gaze made her catch her breath. Was he jesting with her, poking fun at her preference for wilderness over manicured lawns and shrubbery? She shook her head and broke the connection, making a point to ask Miss Bingley about the plans for their dinner meal. Miss Bingley happily began a treatise on the four courses planned, and Elizabeth made sure not to look in the direction of Mr. Darcy again. Once the party finished their short tour of the barren gardens and returned to the front of the house, Elizabeth begged their pardon that she must see to her sister. She curtsied and hurried up the stone stairs, unsure about the way her stomach lurched when she thought of Mr. Darcy. My, she practically ran up those steps. These country misses must be so burdened with the demands of life, one could hardly call them genteel. Miss Bingley raised her nose slightly in the air as she and Mr. Darcy began a more dignified stroll up the stairs, her arm merely glued to his as it had remained the entire walk. I find the lack of artifice and manipulation rather refreshing. Mr. Darcy's slight did not appear to bother Miss Bingley as he bowed and took his leave of her. Either she was magnificently stupid or did not care about his sentiments and wished to win him regardless. He reasoned it was likely the latter. Planning to go directly to the stables and take a strong ride about the countryside to clear his head, Darcy could not help but make a short detour to the library. Striding confidently to the chessboard, his mouth widened in a rare smile as he noticed she took his rook. Switching his knight for another of her pawns, he found himself eagerly anticipating returning from his ride, even if it was only to spy her next move. Darcy considered inviting Bingley away from the estate business, keeping him holed up in his study, but he doubted the man would leave the house with his precious angel still ill above stairs. No, Darcy would take a solitary ride and enjoy any such distraction the exercise might offer, though he expected very little relief from his present fixation on Miss Elizabeth Bennet. The dining table of Netherfield Park glowed in exquisite candlelight. An abundance of fresh rose displays filled the table widths between candelabras and the air with the musky sweetness of the flower's bouquet. Place settings rested near each chair as if 12 people would indeed partake of the four-course meal, when only 6 diners sat on one end. Elizabeth Bennet chewed her roast duck thoughtfully, as across the table Miss Bingley yapped incessantly to poor Mr. Darcy, while the gentleman did nothing but stare in her direction. Such examination made Elizabeth uncomfortable, and she began to lose confidence in her impeccable table manners as she suspected he glared to find something amiss. "You say your sister is very nearly well and plans to join us this evening." Mr. Bingley eagerly engaged Elizabeth, sitting to his right. Indeed, Elizabeth paused to stab a candied carrot and held the bite in midair before continuing to answer, "She has sworn me to assist her and wishes to thank you and Miss Bingley for the generous hospitality you have offered us both." Greedily, she devoured the carrot in hopes of discouraging further inquiries on the topic of her sister. "We are the lucky ones, are we not, Caroline, to enjoy such fine visitors to our home?" Bingley beamed with pride, a young man's exuberance over his first home and impromptu house party shining in his eyes. "Charles, I do not think Miss Bennet and Miss Eliza would revel in visiting under such circumstances." Caroline shuddered, drawing attention to her lower neckline that Elizabeth swore stuck out with greater prominence once she had finished shimmying. As Caroline gave a sidelong glance at Mr. Darcy to see if he noticed, which he had not, as he was still watching Elizabeth most intently, she scowled. The play-acting was nearly too much for Elizabeth, and she hastily ate another bite of food to keep from giggling at the dinner table. Mr. Bingley's face faded to a frown. Dinner continued, and by the third course, Elizabeth began to pity Mr. Darcy. Feeling bold, she decided to attract Caroline's barbs. Miss Bingley was no match for Elizabeth's patience, as the London woman's manners and behavior lent her no credit in Elizabeth's book. "Miss Bingley, I wish to thank you for ordering roses for my pleasure tonight. I did not know confessing my favorite bloom would inspire such changes to the decor. I am happy the hothouses at Netherfield are still under good management. You are not the only person present with an affection for roses. As you said yourself, it is a common favorite and just so happens to be my favorite flower also." Caroline beamed at Darcy, who coughed. "But I thought you loved orchids. We had to order so many specifically at your request when we arrived," Charles began to say, until his sister glared at him with the fury of 1,000 angry ornaments. "Everyone knows orchids are in fashion, but my true love has always been roses." Caroline glanced again at Mr. Darcy on her right, who continued to stare straight ahead.
"Humph, when's the next course?" Mr. Hurst grumbled.
"Dear, the fowl just arrived, but the parsnips should be as you prefer them." Louisa Hurst placated her husband and took another sip of her wine. Her husband belched and squirmed, forcing Elizabeth to look down quickly at her plate before she lost her tacit expression to a fit of laughter.
Dinner continued with more scraping of plates and silverware, and as conversation swirled around her, Elizabeth imagined a melody of dinner-time symphony brought to an audience by hundreds of patrons merely eating their meal. When Mrs. Hurst placed a gentle hand on Elizabeth's arm, she looked up, trying to hide her confusion.
"I beg your pardon." She frantically looked to find who had spoken to her.
Mr. Darcy wiped his mouth with his napkin. "I asked if you travel very often, Miss Elizabeth." Mr. Darcy's eyes were soft and genuine as he focused only on her. Elizabeth Bennet wrinkled up her nose and smiled, intrigued to see a small smile creep on the taciturn Mr. Darcy's face.
"I'm afraid not. My sister and I often go to London to visit our aunt and uncle. But I confess my father is not very keen on travel, you see, so that is the extent of my knowledge of our country."
"But you would desire to see more?" he asked, bringing Elizabeth's gaze to his own, his husky voice making the simple inquiry sound so much more personal to her ears.
"Yes, I would dearly love to travel and see more of the world I have only read about in books."
Elizabeth blushed slightly and hastily reached for her glass of wine, wishing dearly she was not alone with these mere acquaintances.
"Tell us about your aunt and uncle, dear Miss Eliza. Is this the barrister and his wife, or the ones in trade?" Caroline asked sweetly, while her brother Charles dropped his fork with a clatter at his sister's impertinence.
"Caroline, no, 'tis quite all right, Mr. Bingley. I am not ashamed of my relations. My aunt and uncle Gardiner reside in Cheapside, and my uncle is an importer of fine luxury goods.
A lucrative and risky business these days, thanks to the puffed-up egos on the continent," Mr. Hurst added.
Elizabeth nodded and began to feel peppered from all sides. In the battle of the dinner table, she sat surrounded by foes, with not a friend in sight, until a deep baritone voice again joined the fray.
"For myself, I find men and women with roots in a trade always to have the most sense. My father and Bingley's father were good friends, as my estate's wool fed his weavers. I abhor the airs and arts of snobbery."
Mr. Darcy raised his wine glass in a minor toast to Elizabeth's relations, again making the poor woman blush. So conflicted in her thoughts and feelings, Elizabeth looked down at her hands in her lap and wondered what to say. Meanwhile, a vegetable course arrived, and Miss Bingley began a new topic of conversation centered on balls and theaters they had all attended, save Elizabeth, in London during the last season. With a deep breath, Elizabeth continued to eat her meal, and by the time the last course arrived, she finally felt brave enough to glance up at Mr. Darcy with a face full of gratitude.
To Fitzwilliam Darcy,
the sight of Miss Elizabeth's bright eyes and wine-kissed lips formed in a tender smile directed at him, intensified the romantic glow of the dwindling tapers.
The sight arrested his heart so violently, the pain nearly made him react. Was this the throes of passion the poets talked of when they spoke of pangs and strains of one's heartstrings? Not trusting himself, he quickly looked down to inspect the remnants of his meal and practice taking metered breaths. Soon the sexes would separate, and with any luck, he would clear his head of the beautiful and charming woman sitting across from him. Frantically, he tried to devise a way to retire early, but finding none, resolved he could keep his emotions under a good regulation for another hour. He had no choice in the matter. Later that evening, after they all joined for an hour's visit in the parlor, Jane's energy began to wane. Elizabeth helped her sister upstairs, but as they reached the hall, she felt another tug on her conscience.
"Do you mind terribly waiting right here? I shan't be but a moment. I need a new novel to read," Elizabeth asked her elder sister earnestly.
Jane laughed at Elizabeth's insatiable love of books and agreed to wait while she dashed into the library so long as she would be quick. The library held a few candles burning in their holders, and it appeared the servants had set up a tray of cigars and brandy for the gentlemen before they retired for the evening. Elizabeth tiptoed to the large, darkened window, watching her eerie reflection grow smaller and smaller as she neared the table and the chessboard. Black's move played perfectly into her hands, and she could see where in three moves she would be mated. Thankfully, her plan mated her opponent in two. With another fleeting thrill of wickedness, she moved her queen to her final space, hoping to wake in the morning to one final move and her triumph. The timing would be perfect, as she and Jane planned to leave on the morrow. Something about Mr. Bingley's friend unnerved Elizabeth, and she decided the sooner they were free of one another's company, the better. Twirling around on the spot, she managed to keep her joy under good regulation and slowly opened the library doors to hear her sister speaking to a man in the hall.
"Yes, it was lovely to have your company this evening, Jane. I am dreadfully sorry you were taken so ill. Perhaps in the morning you might consent to a stroll in the gardens, if your health allows it."
"Yes, Mr. Bingley, I believe I shall muster the strength for a short walk."
"Please." Elizabeth spied Mr. Bingley bowing over Jane's hand.
"Call me Charles. All of my friends do."
Elizabeth heard her sister giggle and took it as a cue to enter the hallway as conspicuously as she could. She should have narrowed her eyes at Charles Bingley for taking such liberties with her sister, but in truth, Elizabeth was overjoyed.
"And after our walk, hopefully, Mama will have sent the carriage if I write her as soon as we wake."
"Lizzie," Jane admonished, "we do not have to rush home on the morrow. Mr. Bingley was just telling me how he would like for us to stay at least one more day."
Elizabeth frowned. Staying one more day did not work for her plans, nor did she desire enduring the rude company of the Bingley sisters or the quixotic behavior of Mr. Darcy. But Jane stood there with her eyes so full of hope. Denying her extra time with her amiable Mr. Bingley seemed cruel and unnecessary.
"Oh, very well, you have persuaded me. I am sure after your walk tomorrow, you will find yourself in need of a healthy rest, and too weak to travel home. What was I thinking?"
Elizabeth tucked her lower lip under her top lip to keep her laugh at bay. But Mr. Bingley laughed out loud at her faux manipulations.
"Remind me to never enter a game of wits with you, Miss Elizabeth." For a moment, all appeared perfect. The three of them enjoyed the brief unspoken loyalty to a plan of keeping the Bennets as houseguests at least one day longer when the parlor door slid open and Caroline poked her head out the door.
"Charles, where, oh, I thought you had both retired to bed. I did not know we were holding tete-a-tetes in the hall."
Bingley didn't take his eyes off Jane as he answered his sister.
"Forgive me, sister, I did not mean to hold up the card game. I was just wishing Miss Bennet and her sister a good night."
Charles took the extra opportunity to bow once more over Jane's hand as Elizabeth nudged Jane away towards the stairs.
"Good night again, Mr. Bingley, Miss Bingley. Pleasant evening to you both," Elizabeth called out in a hollow voice as she ushered her love-struck sister upstairs. As the two made it to Jane's bedroom and flopped on the bed, Lizzie couldn't help but giggle as Jane stared serenely at the ceiling above them.
"Well, if he is not wholly in love with you, then I am pickled."
"Stop it, Lizzie, he is a good man."
"I do not know what to think."
"Of course you do. He is going to take you for your walk and gaze deeply into your eyes, and then he will ask you to marry him. And we shall all be saved, and I will never have to wed."
Jane rolled over to face her sister properly and frowned.
"You are too harsh on yourself. Certainly you will marry. What of Mr. Bingley's friend, Mr. Darcy? I noticed he spoke to you a great deal this evening and watched you intently."
"Yes, discourse on what makes a proper lady accomplished. Very flattering and flirtatious conversation. No, that man is cross, taciturn, and I do not care for how he stares at me constantly to find fault. It is unnerving."
Elizabeth errantly pulled the pins from her hair as they began to give her a dreadful headache. Her mind flittered to the few times when Mr. Darcy's kindness had appeared, both on the walk and at dinner, but her good sense forced them away. The man may not be as bad as the first night he insulted her at the assembly, but neither was he a man she could esteem.
"I am not so sure. Mr. Bingley asked me a few questions tonight about your thoughts on him. I told him how you were insulted at the assembly by his comments."
"You did not, oh Jane, I wish you had not shared such a mortifying experience with Mr. Bingley."
Dramatically, Elizabeth covered her face with her arm like a heroine in a novel, overacting her embarrassment in an attempt to hide that she truly was embarrassed by her sister's admission. Jane rose and pulled a clean shift from her trunk. She gazed at her sister thoughtfully before speaking. Knowing she should not have spoken of such matters with Charles, but finding herself so peaceful, so comfortable in his presence, her tongue could speak no lies and certainly no artifice.
"I apologize. It was not meanly done."
Elizabeth huffed and threw her arms up and forward to propel herself off the bed.
"I know, you do not do anything with a mean spirit. I just do not want Mr. Darcy to think I'm heartsick over the ordeal, waiting for an apology."
Jane tilted her head to one side, still holding the shift in one hand. Charles would not tell him. Elizabeth laughed. Get enough drink in any men and they cackle like hens. Elizabeth pecked her sister on the cheek and wished her a good night, running her fingers through her loosened hair to shake it free one last time. Making a face at her sister as she opened the door and backed out of the room, she quickly shut the door when her posterior bumped directly into someone in the hall. She turned to find herself much too close to none other than Mr. Darcy. Oh, heavens, I am terribly sorry. She tried to move to the right, but so did he, and they bumped again. Both adjusted to the left for the same result. Darcy's strong hands gripped her upper arms with pure masculine confidence and shifted her to his left, her right, while he moved decidedly in the opposite direction. After he released her, Elizabeth's arms still tingled as if his warm hands remained. Mr. Darcy bowed low. I believe the fault was equally mine. I beg your pardon and wish you a good evening, Miss Elizabeth. Then he walked away, further down the hall to his suite of rooms in the other wing. Elizabeth stood stunned. She had just accosted Mr. Darcy with her person, completely unintentionally, and he disappeared just as suddenly into the shadows. Taking a deep breath, she crossed the hall to her room and questioned her earlier agreement for one more day spent at Netherfield. Down the hall, Fitzwilliam Darcy accepted the help of his man to undress and retire for the evening. He attempted to read a book by the fire, but found his mind much too distracted. With a yawn, he laid on the bed with the comfort that in the morning, the Bennet sisters would be on their way home. Therefore, there was no harm if he allowed his mind to fixate on a pair of fine, bright eyes with silky chestnut hair flowing free and wild about her person. As he closed his eyes, his fingers twitched at the thought of touching such hair and the woman of his dreams, shivering in delight.